prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning, Truth Revolution. I am Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
This is a good day to turn your brains on.
It is. You know what? You should never turn them off.
That's right.
Honestly.
Especially on this show, because this is where faith and reason meet.
Right. They coincide very nicely.
That's right. So welcome to Truth Revolution. We love questions, and we love questioning our beliefs, not because we're questioning God himself, because God's truth. We're questioning what we believe about God, whether it's real or not.
Right. It all comes down to, if what we are believing is true, there's no need to question God. But we need to question the things that we have been taught.
Sure.
You know, and do test. I mean, to see if, are we really following the right God?
That's right.
And we believe we are.
We want to know. So if you're a Christian, a Buddhist, a Muslim, an atheist, an agnostic, confused, whatever you are, we welcome you here. We want to hear your questions. If you have questions, go ahead and send them. Questions about God or the Bible or truth, go ahead and send them to questions@truthrevolution.tv.
There you go.
Now you can text message to this, believe it or not.
You can.
Right now, just pull your phone out.
I didn't even know that.
Driving or not. No, don't do it if you're driving. Pull your phone out. Send a text message to questions@truthrevolution.tv. You can send an email to questions@truthrevolution.tv.
Right.
You can just go to our website.
Yeah, truthrevolution.tv.
I think you're catching on here. And send in a question from there.
Right.
Because we're all about questions. In fact, today we're going to answer three questions.
We're going to try.
Plus do a Bible contradiction.
Right.
We believe the Bible doesn't actually have contradictions, so we try to answer one supposed contradiction every single time.
Right. One thing that I want to make abundantly clear, kind of stepping off what you kind of threw out there about, even if you're confused, it's okay to be confused as a Christian.
You wouldn't know how many times we're confused.
Right. It's okay to be confused. It's how you react to that confusion that defines your Christianity.
Sure.
Or your spirituality.
You know, I was speaking with someone this last week. A Christian who said, you know, before I came to Revolution Church, I was scared to question my faith. I would think something about God and I would think, is that true? And then I would get scared and I would just put it away. I'd say, I'm not allowed to think these things. And she said, but then I came to Revolution, and she's talking about even the radio show here. And she said, I started learning it's okay to ask questions, and holy smokes, there are answers for questions.
There are answers. And it's crazy because questioning, I believe, honestly, that questioning your religion is going to, both of us believe this, questioning the religion is going to send us further down the path of Christianity.
Absolutely.
You know, so there's nothing wrong with it. It's a blessed thing. And I think God wants us to question things so our faith grows.
We always do this. We get on this rant about asking questions before we even ask any questions. So let's get into our questions today.
Right.
These are questions that was posed by an atheist named Adam Lee from New York City. He said he listed 10 questions that you should ask your pastor. So we're asking myself here and Dave. And
I'm not a pastor.
These are really hard questions to answer.
Right.
And so we said, hey, if they're hard, let's do it.
Right. And over the past 3 weeks before now, we've done 7 of these questions. Okay. We're up to number 8 now. Okay. So we got 8, 9, and 10 left to do. We're going to try and hit them by the end of the show.
So, you're good at math.
All right. Check it out. You want me to just launch right into this next question?
Yes.
Okay.
We are ready for the question.
Here it comes. Number 8. Why didn't God create human beings such that they freely desire to do good, thus removing the need to create a hell at all? If you believe that is impossible, then isn't that the state that will exist in heaven?
Okay.
This is the question he has.
You know, at first, this question seems quite difficult. Like, why didn't God make human beings so that we freely choose to do good?
It would be so much easier, right?
Yeah, but you know, it's really quite simple. Okay. I mean, this is not that difficult. Why didn't God make us so that we automatically want to do good?
Yeah.
Because that's not freedom.
Yeah. The part of this question that is really kind of like at odds with itself is freely desire to do good. I mean, how can you just freely desire to do one thing? I mean, you can't. There's no choice there.
Right. We believe in free will. And God gave us free will. He could not create us that we have free will, but we only make one choice.
Right.
That's not free will. And so God gave us free will, and we could freely choose to do good or freely choose to do bad. Ah, he says, so what about heaven?
Right. Won't we be free there?
Won't we be free there? Well, and the innuendo is, if you're free in heaven, mm-hmm. can't you make bad choices there too?
Right.
Well, yeah, but see, in heaven, we already chose.
Okay.
We chose to follow God and to do good, to obey Jesus, to believe in God, and that's why we're in heaven. And so we made our choice, right or wrong. We made the choice to be with God, and that's why we're in heaven. Therefore, God's going to reveal himself to us more fully, because if God revealed himself to us right now,
oh yeah,
every single person
husks.
Would fall on their face
right.
and worship God.
Oh, I think actually if God showed his fullness to us right now, we'd probably all just pass out or die.
Right. I mean, it would eliminate our free will. So God's mm-hmm. withholding that until we get to heaven. After we choose him freely, he's
going
to reveal himself to us fully, and then it will have been our choice. And then we're going to see God as he really is, and we're going to see our sin and the suffering on earth for what it really was.
Mm-hmm.
And although we have a free choice to sin or not,
it becomes a duh moment.
It comes a totally duh moment. I mm-hmm. mean, it's like giving you the choice between eating dog food and cake. No sane person would ever choose dog food. And once we go to heaven, we have free will, but we will see God, and we will see our sin, and no sane person would ever choose sin.
Amen.
Once you've seen God.
Amen. But I don't like cake. And if it's the real expensive dog food.
You don't like cake?
I like pie better.
Okay, but yeah, but see, I said sane person.
Oh.
And so you might eat the dog food.
No, I wouldn't.
And that's exactly what we're talking about. Okay, here, a Christian apologetics and research ministry, they put it this way. People in heaven have knowledge of sin that Adam, the first man,
right.
did not have before he fell. In heaven, the redeemed will be able to fully know the contrast between God's goodness and the horrendous effects of evil. With glorified minds and bodies, they cannot possibly choose evil.
Right. It's a been there, done that kind of scenario.
Exactly.
Well, now, we've seen what it does.
Yeah. And they worded it really, really well. I just would have changed the last sentence. They said they cannot possibly choose evil. I'd say, well, they could possibly choose evil, but they would never choose evil.
Didn't you just say the same thing? Right. I understand what you're saying. It's still a possibility, but why would you?
Right. I mean, God created human beings that were free. They can freely choose to accept him or freely choose to reject him. Now, I agree with the question. It is impossible to have beings who freely desire to do good unless they can rebel. So God
right.
made us so we could rebel. But eventually we're going to go to heaven. We've made our choice. We're mm-hmm. not going to rebel. We can see God for who he is. We can see our sin for what it really is. And we're never going to make that
right.
sinful choice again.
Right. And quite typically, we learn here on earth, you know, it's like, well, I'm never going to do that again. You know,
oh, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, you might do something really stupid. You know, you put your tongue on a freezing cold ice pole.
Right.
You know, and you get stuck there as a 9-year-old, and you think, man, that was a really stupid choice. And you have to go through all the pain and humiliation of getting your tongue removed from that pole.
Right.
You're never going to do that again.
Now, this question kind of makes me think of somebody who goes around their entire life worrying that they're actually going to stick their tongue on a pole again. You know, I better not walk by that pole when it's cold out.
Yeah.
I might get stuck.
But don't you have the choice? Well,
I do,
but you're not going to do that again.
Right.
It's the same thing in heaven. Don't you have the choice to sin?
That's
well, yeah,
great.
But you're not going to do it.
We just totally blew that question out of the water. That's awesome.
It was a good question.
Yeah.
At first, it sounds like, oh, snap. What am I going to do? He answered an impossible question, but then
right.
It's like, oh, wait, it really wasn't that hard. Okay, let's... Question number 9.
Is it fair or rational for God to hide himself so that he can only be known by faith, then insist that every single human being find him by picking the right one, religion, out of thousands of conflicting and incompatible religions? Basically, God is playing the shell game here. Can you find me?
Yeah, he's moving the shells around.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is the peanut under?
Right.
Which one is God under? Which religion is right?
Yeah, under about what? About 500 shells?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. And is it fair of God to do that? Is it rational of God to do that and expect us to be able to find him? Well, I'll tell you the truth. I think this entire question is a straw man argument.
What do you mean?
Well, a straw man argument is when you word something in a way that makes your opponent sound stupider than he really is.
Oh, okay.
Is stupider a word?
I don't know. You just made it. So, yeah, I guess it is in the Jeff lexicon.
Oh, the irony is thick. All right. So, you know, for instance, if, you know, I was asking you a question, I could say, well, you know, Dave, we're talking about beating women.
Right.
You know, do you think it's okay for you to continue to beat women? You know, I've really just made a straw man argument there in a sense.
Because okay.
I've innuendo that you already do,
right.
And there's really no good way for you to answer
that.
I want to point out why his question is a straw
man.
Okay, he's made up false accusations about religion in his question. Now, but first, before I point out his straw man pieces, let's just imagine he's correct. Let's just imagine that really God is hiding himself in one of thousands of conflicting religions.
Yes.
That doesn't mean God doesn't exist.
True.
Even if God did that, the question is admitting God exists.
Right. He's failing to prove his atheistic point.
Right. And even if God does hide himself, that would be God's prerogative, wouldn't it?
Right.
If God chose to hide himself from people, he could do that. That would be his choice.
That's true.
So anyway, this question doesn't prove anything, but we're going to answer it anyway, because it really is a straw man argument. Here's the problems. He made two different questions that were mistakenly worded. First, he said, can God only be known, quote, by faith? He says so that he can only be known by faith. And by this, he is innuendoing blind faith.
Right.
But the Bible does not talk about blind faith. He's saying, oh, well, God's hiding himself in religion, and you just have to choose to believe one of them, hoping that you're right. But that's not what faith is. Faith is not blind. Dave, what does Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 tell us? Do you know that?
Yeah, Hebrews chapter 11,
verse 1
says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see.
Confidence in what we hope for.
Right.
Now, Dave, how do you get confidence? Do you get confidence by imagining something?
No.
Do you get confidence by sprinkling magic fairy dust over your Bible?
Well, no.
Should you?
No.
I'll put it that way. Should you?
No.
No, you get confidence when you see the factual information, when you see the evidence. In fact, the second word in that verse, assurance about what we do not see.
Right.
The literal translation of that word, because this was written in Greek.
Yes.
And the word assurance in the Greek word is elenkos. It literally means proof or evidence.
Oh, gotcha.
This is saying faith is having confidence in the facts, man.
Right.
In the evidence that's been presented to you.
Amen.
Seeing what is real, knowing what the truth is, and then believing that truth, even though you can't see it with your own eyes.
Right. And we constantly put forward proof on this show. You know, I do that a lot. I talk about what we do on this show, but it's the facts. I mean,
it is the facts.
You cannot hide from the fact that we've been doing this for almost 2 years now, you know, and we have never actually sat here and thought maybe there isn't a God. You know, we have totally always been able to come back around to the truth.
Right. Yeah. And I want to clarify, we've never sat here and thought, oh, maybe there isn't. We've asked the question.
Oh, totally.
What if there isn't? You know, how do we know there is? And the evidence is there. We've got the Kalam cosmological argument.
Right.
Look it up on our website, truthrevolution.tv. We've got the vertical cosmological argument.
Right.
We've got the moral argument.
Right.
There's the teleological argument.
Mm-hmm.
There's prophecy. There's Jesus' resurrection. There's statistical probability. There's all kinds of things. And this is just a short list of them. There are all kinds of things that point to the evidence for a creator of our universe and you and me, and one that interacts with us on a regular basis.
Amen.
And so the question is premised on a faulty notion that that God wants us to be blind about our faith, but that's simply not the way it is.
All right, we're coming up to a break right now. After the break, we're going to be doing a Bible contradiction.
Yes.
So we'll see you after the break, and don't forget to come to Revolution Church today.
That's right, 10:15 every morning, Salina, Kansas, we have Revolution Church. We ask questions there. You can even ask questions during the sermons.
Right, yeah.
Text them in. So we love questions. We love people. Come as you are. Tattoos, piercings, hair, no hair, pretty, ugly. I mean, I'm there.
Well, you know,
I am really ugly.
I'm tattooed, I have long hair, and I am ugly. So.
I'm not tattooed, I have short hair, and I'm beautiful.
Right.
That was a contradiction. All right. Bible contradiction on the other side of this break, as well as another question.
Is there too much month at the end of your money?
We all need a plan for our money, and Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, FPU, is that plan. It teaches God's way of handling money.
You've probably heard Dave's national radio program, and Revolution Church is going to be hosting his FPU classes.
Through video, discussions, and small groups, you'll learn the biblical and practical steps to get from where you are to where you've only dreamed you could be.
This plan will show you how to get rid of debt,
yeah,
manage your money, spend and save wisely, and much more.
I myself have saved tens of thousands of dollars because of this program.
Millions of people have already taken the class, so if you want to tell your money where to go instead of letting your money boss you around,
contact Revolution Church and attend Financial Peace University.
www.salinarevolution.com.
That's www.salinarevolution.com.
Call 825-4488 or visit www.salinarevolution.com.
Or on facebook.com/revolutionchurch.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, salinarevolution.com. www.salinarevolution.com.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff. The number of the beast, 666, isn't a mystical, scary number.
In fact, it's merely a representation of who the beast is.
So, who is it, and how do we know?
During the time that the Book of Revelation was written, cryptogrammatic values were common.
That's basically where you use a number to spell out words.
And 666, spelled in first century Hebrew, turns out to spell Nero.
Nero is the Roman Caesar who reigned during a time of great Christian persecution.
Plus, if you look at your Bible, there's a good chance the 666 has a little asterisk by it.
Right, they do. And it says, or 616. Why is that?
Well, it's likely that when the Bible's translated into Latin, the copyist would change the number to 616.
But copyists never change the biblical words. Why would they do that?
Because they knew 666 meant Nero, and in countries using Latin, if you wanted to spell Nero, you had to have the number 616.
So, the early Christians would translate the Bible and change the number because they knew it was referring to Nero.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we are back. We are talking about 10 questions to ask your pastor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've been doing this for the last 3 weeks. This is the fourth week. This is the last week of this series.
We loved it.
We love it. We awesomely loved it.
Answering questions that are supposed to be difficult. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
So, Jeff obviously loves it. I want to point out something you said before the break.
Something that I said wrong?
Yeah, you said that we have church every day.
I wish we did.
Although you should have church every day as far as personally.
Revolution Church is every Sunday at 10:15 in the morning. I was too busy talking about how ugly I am.
And telling the truth, by the way.
Wow.
I didn't mean that.
Okay.
You're a beautiful person, man.
Will you read question number 9 again? We answered part of this. Let's just reread the question so that we can remember what it was actually about.
I got to pick it up off the floor now.
You're throwing stuff on the floor.
Well, you know, I'm too lazy to put it on the table. All right, check it out.
Mess.
Here's the question again. Is it fair or rational for God to hide himself so that he can only be known by faith, then insist that every single human being find him by picking the right one out of thousands of conflicting and incompatible religions?
Okay, so we first pointed out that this doesn't prove God exists.
Right.
Then we showed that he's assuming that faith is blind.
Right, this doesn't prove that God doesn't exist.
Yes.
Yeah, you're on it today.
Yes.
It's okay.
I'm tired today.
It's all right.
Come on out to Revolution Church this morning at 10:15 and watch me make some more mistakes.
There you go.
But I promise I know this stuff. I just can't say it right today. So anyway, Anyway, we're going to keep going here. So the first half of this question, he made an incorrect assumption about what faith is.
Right.
he assumed it was blind, and it's not. Now, also, he says that God hides himself by insisting that humans try to pick the right religion out of thousands of conflicting or incompatible ones. I got two things to say to this.
All right.
First of all, it's good that the religions are incompatible and conflicting.
Yes.
He acts like this is a bad thing.
Right, because how else? I mean, if they were all the exact same thing, how would you choose?
Thank you. I mean,
and why would you call it a different religion?
Exactly. It'd be really hard to know which religion was the right one. I mean, right one if they're all the same. God isn't making us choose which door's the right door from 100 identical doors. No, he's asking us to choose light versus darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as an atheist, he doesn't necessarily get this. He thinks, look, I see 1,000 different religions, and to me, they're all, I could choose anyone.
Right.
But to those of us who know God, who believe in Jesus, we say, look, God is light, and anyone who loves God loves light, loves the truth, loves him. Anyone who wants to find him can find him. So if you love light, you're going to see the one that is correct. It's right. Not really rocket science.
It isn't. Because believe me, if I made the right choice, I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist. Mm-hmm. You know, I made the right choice.
That's right. Now, we also would say, and this continues, this is part B, whoever seeks God will find God. Really.
Yes.
Whoever seeks religion will find religion. Whoever seeks tradition will find tradition. Whoever seeks themselves will find themselves.
Mm-hmm, right.
But whoever seeks God will find God if you really seek him with all your heart. Matthew 7:8, Jesus is talking. He says, everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened.
Right.
He literally means if you really try to pursue God honestly, you will find him.
Right. Now, all these religions in the world aren't, I mean, they're all conflicting and stuff like that, but a lot of them have some things in common, as in, what do some of them say about Jesus?
Well, this is a good question. What do other religions say? Well, Hinduism says that Jesus was a Satguru, like a true teacher,
mm-hmm.
or a reincarnated prophet. Buddhism says that Jesus was the enlightened one. Islam says he was a prophet. The general public, you know, they say Jesus was a good man.
Right.
Christianity, however, says that Jesus was the Messiah, God in flesh.
Right. And it's not just that Christians say this. Jesus himself said that.
Right. And we did a show about this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what's cool. There's a fundamental difference between Christianity's beliefs about Jesus and all the others.
Right.
On one hand, all views say Jesus was some type of good teacher or person. If they're right, Christianity is wrong. Because being merely a teacher or a prophet rules out the possibility of Jesus as God.
Right.
However, Christianity claims that Jesus is the only way to heaven. So if Christianity is right, all the other religions are wrong.
Right.
Now here's the crazy part. Either Christianity is right, or all religions, including Christianity, are wrong.
Right.
Because they all make a claim about who Jesus mm-hmm. was.
And if Christianity is wrong, what's so good about his teaching?
Well, yeah, Jesus claimed to be God. So would a good man claim to be God if he wasn't?
No.
No. So any religion who says Jesus is a good man was wrong.
Right.
Would a good teacher claim to be God if he wasn't? No. So any religion that says Jesus was a good teacher is wrong. Would a good prophet claim to be God if he wasn't?
No.
No. So any religion that says Jesus was a prophet is wrong. So either Christianity is right and all the other religions are wrong, or every religion is wrong that makes a claim about Jesus.
So basically what you're saying is that God is under this one shell, or God is not there at all.
Yeah, what I'm saying to this Adam guy who asked this question, how could you choose from thousands of religions? I'm saying it's pretty simple. There's only right. one logical choice.
There you go.
Okay. Dave, what do you say we take time and do a biblio contradictiono?
Let's do it.
Bible contradiction.
All right. As has been our habit here, like the past month, our Bible contradiction this week comes from 1001biblecontradictions.com.
Yay.
All right. Satan can or cannot control a Christian? This is an important question for Christians everywhere, because I know
there... Can Satan control you?
Yes. There are people out there who actually question this. Christians that actually question this. So I figured I'd throw this out here as a contradiction, because it is what 1001biblecontradictions.com calls a contradiction. And it also takes care of the fact that, hey, can Satan control you or not? So let's launch into it.
Yes, sir.
Luke 22:31 says, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. Goes on in verse 32, says, Jesus says, I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. Okay. 1 John 5:18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. So, what is it, man? Is Satan wanting to sift us like wheat?
What?
Or can he not touch us?
I'm a little confused.
I know you are. But they consider this a logical Bible contradiction.
I'm not really seeing where the contradiction is to even answer the contradiction.
My assumption is saying that Jesus is telling Peter that I am praying for you because if I don't, Satan will have his way with you.
Satan will right. Okay, all right. Got you. And we're going to use our cracked acronym here.
Okay.
The first C is context. You have to read the Bible in context. The second one is revealed. It has revealed to you from the Holy Spirit. And the third one, which we're going to use today, is credibility.
Okay.
All right. You have to give the Bible some credit. This is Aristotle's dictum. You have to give any ancient document, any historical document, some credit, right? You can't just assume it's all stupid and wrong. You have to give the author a little bit of cred. And so we're going to give the Bible some credit here. It's not actually saying Satan controls the Christian.
Right.
Listen to the verse. Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. That doesn't necessarily imply complete control over somebody.
Right.
All he's doing is saying he's going to tempt you, Peter, and I'm going to pray that when he does tempt you, that you don't fail. So really, there is no Bible contradiction here. Pretty simple answer. Use our cracked acronym. Give the Bible a little bit of credit.
Bible contradiction.
All right, let's not forget 1 John 5:18 definitely says that Jesus keeps us safe and the evil one cannot harm us if you are a child of God.
That's right. Christians can't be possessed by demons or anything like that.
Amen.
All right, last question on our big list of questions.
All right, here we go. Drum roll, please. Number 10. If you had the power to help all people who were suffering or in need at no cost or effort to yourself, would you do it? And if so, why hasn't God done this already? Because, you know, as everybody knows, that we claim that God is all-powerful and it would be at no cost to him. Why hasn't he done it?
Oh, why hasn't God fixed all people suffering?
Right. I want to know why.
He has fixed all the suffering, and he did it at great cost to himself.
Do tell.
Number one, we're going to answer this question a little more in depth, I think, what he's getting at. But number one, Jesus came to earth. That is God condescending to man. Jesus suffered more than all of our suffering put together. Jesus removed the curse of sin, and we're going to heaven if we choose to.
Right on.
God has removed our suffering. We just have to be willing to accept that and then go to heaven. Granted, the questioner asked, why hasn't God removed already?
Right.
And the answer is, it would doom mankind.
Right.
If this were heaven on earth with no problems whatsoever, nobody would seek God.
Yeah, right.
And that alone would doom them to hell. God is primarily concerned with eternity and not this temporary world.
Right. I was going to say he's totally looking at it from a total human approach. Because, yes. I mean, you know, we cannot see beyond the veil.
The questioner's looking at it from a human approach. Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at it and you study the things that we've studied, you can see it from God's perspective.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, when a parent allows a child to experience a consequence, you go, why are you allowing suffering? Well, no, you're really setting them up for a good life.
Right.
To let them know there's consequences.
Yes.
God is more concerned about the billion lifetimes you're going to have to lead in eternity in this little 80-year period right here.
Amen.
If there was no suffering, nobody would seek God, and that would doom us all to hell. So, all right. Come on out to Revolution Church.
All right.
10:15 this morning.
Yeah.
Sunday morning. Also, go to truthrevolution.tv. Ask your question or send your question via text or email to questions@truthrevolution.tv.
Right. You can also check out Truth Shots.
Oh, yeah. We did one on 666.
Right.
What is 666?
We revealed what 666 is.
Is there a purgatory? We talk about faith healing, all kinds of good stuff. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as well as our shows on Sunday mornings. Truthrevolution.tv.
See you next week.